Savior, may I learn to love thee, walk the path that thou hast shown. Pause to help and lift another, finding strength beyond my own.
Gay Mormon Stories is a production of Mormon Stories Podcast and the Open Stories Foundation. To support this podcast, please donate today at GayMormonStories.org. All donations go directly towards keeping the podcast alive and towards building a community of support for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer Mormons. And thanks for listening.
Can we kind of go back to then how this fit in with the narrative of your... You know, you're still at BYU.
Right.
Where did you go with that once you sort of became pretty comfortable with this idea that you were okay with God?
Right. So that was a couple months ago. When I like fully confirmed it, I'll say, after that North Star article was given to me. And so before then, maybe we should go back even farther. So when I was when I was interviewing guys, they had mentioned these sites like, or these apps, like Grindr and Jacked. And so, when I had finally become okay with who I was like, oh, well, maybe I should start meeting other gay people. Maybe I should start trying to, get involved in this. And so I was told about North Star, like I was already involved in North Star, and BYU has the Understanding Same Gender Attraction group, the USGA group here. Uh-huh. And so I went to a couple meetings there, and then I was on the dating apps, and I decided I want to start meeting guys, for like either friends or possible relationship. Because to me that feels good. That feels something I should do. I should be more involved in, even on a personal level. I feel like, let's see if I can go back even more. Starting in February, I started going to a therapist just to kind of like have a springboard for my options, like to be able to talk about this. Uh-huh. And while I was there, we kind of threw around the option. Well, what happens if you have a relationship in the church? Like if you have a homosexual relationship, how far will you go? Will you stay in the church? Will you try to keep it within the chastity bounds? What do you feel the chastity bounds are, which are annoyingly vague in terms for homosexuals? And anyways, we had come to this conclusion where, because I had a lot of friends leave after the end of April semester, and I kind of found myself really alone in general. And he threw around the idea. He's like, well, maybe you should start dating guys and see how that works. And my first thought was like, but the church, how could I do that kind of thing? But there's looking at like the strength of youth. What does it say about morality? What do they say about chastity and talks and things? And they say homosexual relations, but they never define what that means. Again, I haven't figured everything out. I don't know exactly what's going to be in my future, but I feel that I'm breaking no commandment in dating guys and in having a relationship with them. And so I started going on dates and meeting guys, and I'm actually dating a guy right now who's another BYU student, and it's wonderful. Being able to identify with my sexuality in a constructive way,
uh-huh,
and being able to address it in my daily life has actually been something amazing. And it's been something that's really helped me overcome any depression that I had and any kinds of anxiety that I was going through. And the last couple of weeks, I feel like I'm more whole, if that makes sense. I feel like I'm more complete as a person.
Yeah.
Because I am addressing every aspect of who I am as a person. I'm not trying to deny anything or trying to hide it. It's just who I am. And so being in a relationship with a guy is, like, I I'm trying to think of how I would have looked at it as a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
I would have found it disgusting, but now it's amazing and great, and it's very fulfilling.
Does it give you, I mean, it sounds like the BYU counselor was pretty understanding and pretty
Oh, he
open-minded.
wasn't from BYU.
Oh, okay. So this is a therapist in the community.
Right. I had gone to a BYU counselor right when I got back from my mission, and it was one of the worst experiences of my life. So
Why was
I
that?
avoid that. I avoid there.
But tell me what was bad
But
about the experience.
well, it was so I in the mission, I had talked to a mission doctor, a mission psychologist, because I was getting sick a lot because I was very, I got very anxious and I have anxiety problems because I put myself, I'm very involved in my work, if that makes sense. So I was like, anytime something went wrong, I would get very anxious and it would drive me kind of insane. I slept about an average of 4 hours a night on the mission. So, I mean, that made it really easy to get sick, especially in a foreign country.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was talking to a counselor a lot about anxiety and depression. And when I got home from my mission, I thought it would be better to continue that. Anyway, so I went to the counseling center and they gave me a grad student. So it wasn't even a certified psychologist. And the whole time I was with him, it was just, I felt kind of like he was condescending that when I'd come back the next week and I was still struggling with whatever we had talked about the week before, he was kind of like, well, why don't you get this yet? Why haven't you figured this out yet? And
Oh, really?
it was just really
Were you
frustrating.
talking to him about your sexuality issues or
I
other things?
didn't. So before I had, So this was before I had even given myself the label, and I kind of went there under the guise of anxiety, hoping that we would breach the topic of sexuality. I mean, that was an underlying hope because I wanted to understand it and realize what was going on. But with his attitude of just even anxiety issues, I avoided it. I was like, I don't trust him enough to be able to open up about that. So, I mean, we never talked about it.
But anyway, meanwhile, you had one in the counselor in the community while you're going to college last year, and that's that he brought that up, and that sounded like a good idea to you.
Right. So he's like, maybe you should start dating. I was like, okay, maybe I will. And I prayed about it, and I did not get any like don't do this feelings. Like, it wasn't like God was saying this was going to end in hell. So I feel very comfortable about it. And I actually, ever since I've been going on dates and addressing the sexuality in a constructive, like appropriate way, I've actually been more in tune with the spirit. I feel more comfortable at church. I feel more comfortable with my peers. And just in general, I feel more fulfilled as a person.
Do you sometimes though feel like you're putting your education at risk?
No, I mean, I feel like if it ever came to it, I'd fight it because I'm not breaking the law of chastity. We don't have sex. So it's, I think the honor code is vague enough that I'd be able to show that this isn't something that is happening. I mean, and we're not, it's not like we're completely out to people in the sense of everyone knows that we're dating. We're not w walking down BYU's hallways holding hands or anything. But I mean, if anyone asked me, I'd tell them that I was dating someone because it's not something I'm hiding. But I don't think it's anything that the honor code can really do anything about.
Are you being chased? This is kind of a personal question, but are you being chased now because you're at BYU? Are you being chased because it's a Mormon value? Or what's your take on why you're managing it that way?
Why I'm chased.
Why are you chased?
When I first labeled myself as gay and was going through that really difficult time and understanding what the church was going on, I had decided that I was going to be chaste because I realized what benefit would come from having sexual encounters. I couldn't foresee anything beneficial, at least at this point of state, at this stage. I mean, I don't think that heterosexual sexual relations before marriage are appropriate either. I maybe I'm a little traditional in that way, but I think that there's something to be said for waiting and for being as true to your partner even before marriage afterwards. And so I mean, for me, there's no reason to have sexual relations or to break the law of chastity in that sense, because I feel that there's something to be gained for connecting with whoever you're dating or whoever your partner is on a level that's, I would even say that is higher than sexual activity. Uh-huh. And that once you have created that foundation, when coupled with sexual activity, is actually much more fulfilling and much more stable.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So it's not really, it may be a combination of societal views and religious beliefs and social studies, but that's what I feel inside.
Yeah. And so you're right now you're thinking you would prefer to wait till marriage, that this would be the ideal for you.
Right.
And do you see yourself then getting married in the future?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, I think I have a lot to figure out still with between God and me and between whoever I'll be dating and whether, I mean, I'd hope it's still the guy I'm with now or not. I mean, I won't try to predict the future, but I think also the church at the same time has a lot to figure out. But for now, my feeling is, yes, I should be dating guys. I should be active in understanding what my sexuality is. But at the same time, I feel just as strongly that I should be in the church and part of the church. Uh-huh. And that I should be a worthy member of the church. So for now, if nothing changed, then no, I don't know if I'd get married, because the church would. Obviously, that has negative repercussions in the church in terms of worthiness.
Uh-huh.
So as it stands right now, no. But I, like I said, I'm not. I don't want to predict the future, and what's going to happen. I think both sides need to understand more and need to come to more resolutions. And so we'll see what the future has to hold in that respect.
Yeah. Okay. So you're leaving it to see what evolves. You haven't ruled it out, but you're
right.
Not absolutely heading there in your head right now, anyway.
Right.
You see yourself continuing to date this way. Is this per current your boyfriend? Is he on the same page as you with this? Are you guys?
Yeah, we've talked about it, and we're both in the same spot. And it's kind of interesting. His story is pretty different from mine, but we've gotten to the same conclusion that during that dark time when I almost left the church and almost changed schools because I was just like, man, this would be so much easier without the church.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be so much easier just to be gay. So I started going through this process where I was trying to disprove anything that I believed about the church. And I felt once I was able to do that, then I could sufficiently leave the church with enough evidence that I wouldn't be guilty or wonder, did I really make the right choice? If that makes sense. And so I started going through all these things that I believed, and I was finding ways that I could say, oh, well, here's a nuance that could show that this is why it's not true, or something like that. Until I got to three things. Two of them were the Book of Mormon and Joseph Smith. I could not say that those were not true. Or I could not say that those were, yeah, not true. And then that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Those three things I know for sure, and there's no way I could ever deny them. And he kind of, he went through kind of something similar where we both got to that point where we're like, we know that these things are true and we can't deny them and we don't want to put them at risk. And we, both of us have gotten to a point where we don't know what that means with the church exactly, but we want to stay with the church as it is now and figure out, and as we'll go through, we'll evolve together and figure out what's going to be happening. But, so we've talked about it, and we're fairly on the same page, which was impressive because a lot of guys that I've talked to have It seems to me that they've either taken one side or the other in their stance towards being gay and members of the church. And so it was kind of interesting and refreshing to find someone who aligned with my views on how I felt about the issues.
What's your, how are you seeing this relationship now? I mean, we, you know, people see it as dating, or they see it as, you know, the one and only, or, I mean, there's obviously a lot of steps in between those two. I mean,
Right.
that's kind of a personal question you're not obligated to answer.
We're still pretty new. So I mean, the talks about what are we or the determining the relationship conversations are still pretty at the beginning. So we're kind of taking it for day by day and seeing what happens. I think that's, I don't know what else to say about that, but it's, so we're evolving. We'll see what happens in the future.
Okay. Have you encountered some of these guys who have relationships or marriages who are active in the church, like Randall Thacker and John Gustav Bethel?
Like who are married and gay,
Who are married and gay but
like
also
who?
active Mormons?
Right. So I don't know if I've talked to a couple of them, and I've talked to more who are planning on doing it, but I can't say that I've had much contact with homosexually married men who are active in the church.
Okay. Are you interested? I can introduce you to several.
Right, right. That's actually kind of my next area that I'm gonna go look into is what's going on there and what would it mean for me? What are the possibilities? So that's kind of the next place that I'm gonna start looking.
Okay.
I haven't really
Yeah.
touched on that much yet because I wasn't ever in a place to consider, like it wasn't really in my mind yet because I hadn't even been dating,
Yeah.
if that makes sense.
Well, I'm gonna take the paternalistic attitude right now and just tell you,
Okay.
you're doing okay. There's no rush.
Right.
Especially since you're still at BYU. I'd just rather see you not change your frame of reference until you're safely out of there. Because if you decide to
Right.
do anything that could compromise your education, I just don't want you going there because you're so close to being finished.
Right.
So that's my paternalistic attitude is go ahead and wait, but on the other hand, leave your mind
Right.
open and it sounds like you've done that. It sounds like you've really you're not particularly ruling out in a big way any
Right.
possibilities about that. And meanwhile, you're doing something that's great for you, which is you're dating someone who's on the same page as you and you're having a good time and you guys are doing it without compromising your futures
Right.
and so to me it seems like you're going about it in a good way. I think you're, I suspect you're gonna have some challenging as ideas and some challenging decisions ahead, but
Sure. And I mean, like, it's interesting. When I talk to other gay guys, a lot of them say how hard it is to be chaste, and they have all these like negative attractions that they towards guys, and they really want to act on them. And it's funny for me that after I started dating, I didn't really have that pull to really engage in any sexual activity with anyone. It's never been a problem because I'm addressing my sexuality, if that makes sense. I'm finding an outlet for it rather than, I feel like when people suppress it so much, that almost becomes the only avenue to deal with it. And so for me, dating is, I would feel like the church would actually, if they looked at it constructively, might see that as a positive alternative solution. That dating guys has actually helped me keep my mind, like, if we want to, I feel like I'm talking to a group of young men, keep my mind clear and
Yeah.
clean of whatever. But like dating guys has actually helped me to feel more in line with the law of chastity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought about this, you know, I never tried this as an experiment, but I've certainly heard about people who frame their relationships that way. I don't hear you saying, I'm going to do this for the next 50 years and that's that.
Right.
But I know that some people are wondering if that's maybe what they shouldn't try. I wonder if it is kind of a problematic. I know a lot of, every good Mormon manages to date someone they're attracted to sometime without slipping up. And there is certain level of physicality that's sort of within the rules, right? I mean, people have different opinions of what those rules are, but I mean, there's some amount of kissing and stuff like that that is really, compelling, of course. But it's also obvious that for some people that there's a line and there's a point where you might cross the line, And my question is, would this be sort of a setup for you to devalue the relationship if you realize if the two of you together crossed a line? You know what I mean? That it's sort of even straight couples cope with this. They feel like, oh, we slipped up. We slipped up together. We're in it together, but yet we slipped up, and now we're trying to start our marriage on a good foot, and we're already on a bad foot, and la la la. But with gays, it's even worse because you slip up, and then you're wondering if this means you should, since you're not having a future necessarily, if in the case of the people choosing a 50-year trajectory for this, if they're saying maybe we shouldn't really be together because we are going to slip
We
up.
can't,
And so,
right, we
in
can't
the
stop ourselves.
end, it would serve as an undermining feature because they didn't at least have the rescue of, oh, well, we can get married and we can, even though we slip up, we can at least do it right eventually. Whereas with a gay couple with this mindset, it would take a huge amount of discipline, and a slip up would be really, really demoralizing, damaging to the relationship. So I've just kind of thought about that. I mean, what's your perspective? I mean, you don't obviously have tons of
No, that's
experience
a
to go bit by, but what does that make you think?
no, that's a good pers like that's an interesting question. I don't know too much I've thought about it, but I do think that homosexuals have quite an interesting way about going about relationships, as opposed to heterosexuals. I mean, if they choose to go that route, that there is that danger. And I know a lot of guys who, like, when I told Nart, I mentioned on North Star, like, what do you guys think about dating? And most of them said that's just a recipe for disaster, which just, like I said, is interesting to me because it's actually been quite helpful in being chased. So I think what's necessary is this open communication with your partner to always be talking about what are we going for? Are we, are you and your partner going to be going for something that's eventually sexual, or is there continuously this both of you having a desire to keep it non-sexual? And if that's what you're going to do, I think there needs to be repetitive checks that both of you are on board with that, because obviously, like, down the road, maybe one of you will change suddenly and say, well, this is kind of getting frustrating for me, and I'd rather be married and in a sexual relationship or whatnot. So I feel that it creates an interesting challenge for homosexual people who want to stay in the church. Is this like a possible solution to have a chaste homosexual relationship? And so, I mean, I don't know too much about it. It'd be something to think about, but I agree that it does create a problem. And I think the best way to overcome it at this point, without further direction from the church or from personal revelation, would just be extreme, like, communication and being open about what your direction is in the relationship with the person you're dating.
Well, so you're, as far as your career goes, you're finishing up school real soon, right?
Yes, December.
And have you kind of figured out what you're doing next?
Well, what I'm planning on doing, I'm applying to, I'm getting up my list of schools I want to apply to for grad school, and my ideal right now would be to get into a good sociology doctorate program and get a PhD and teach somewhere. And because I've been involved with it, I think it would be interesting to continue to study the effects of homosexuality on religion.
Yeah, I agree that that would be interesting, and I think it's easier to study something that you're interested in for personal reasons too. So I encourage you
right, exactly.
to proceed with that if it motivates
right.
you. But also, it's there's certainly room for more information about that because there is a really unique relationship to religion with gay people because of our long history of being ostracized
right.
by our religious communities. So
right.
it would be certainly interesting to, I'm sure there's potential for great research there. And you tell me you're sort of new in your dating relationship. So I guess it's probably a little early to say, well, what are you going to do if you guys still keep wanting to dating, if one of you is moving away kind of thing? Is that
right?
Is that,
I don't know if we've, I mean, we both graduate at the same time.
Okay.
So I think.
So you have a little chance
we'll
to
figure
think about
it,
it and decide.
Right.
Okay.
I think we'll figure it out when that happens. but for now, we're just kind of, I think both of us are at a place where like we're enjoying what it is right now. And again, we don't know what the future will hold exactly, but as it gets closer, we'll start preparing for it and figure out what we both want.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for sharing all that. Oh, I didn't ask you if you've come out to your family.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, I was surprised. So I have, so like I said, it was hard to tell my parents because the last time I talked to them about anything sexual was when my dad wanted to leave me home and look at porn all
yeah.
day. So that was kind of frustrating. And so I had never really felt the biggest drive to tell my parents until I told myself I was gay and until I had felt that this was an eternal part of my identity. And I was thinking about it, and I decided that out of respect for their position as parents, I should probably tell them.
Uh-huh.
And I should let them know what I'm going through. And so I, for about 2 months, I'd wanted to tell them, and every time we met up, because I was still in school, so, I mean, maybe it was a weekend vacation or a family reunion or something, I would get ready to tell them, but something was always, like, there was always something that could be, distracting, and so, like, a baby birth or, a death in the family. So I never wanted to bring it up as if like, well, my situation trumps yours, if that makes sense. So I always found an excuse to avoid talking to him about
yeah.
it. And like I said, in early family life, I mean, there was always jokes about homosexuals in our family, and it was quite common for them to say that homosexuality was a choice. So there's also this fear in me of what are they going to say? And then, interestingly, I talked to my brother about it, and he told me that I should tell them and that I should talk to my parents. And so my brother was the first person I came out to.
Uh-huh.
He was having a lot of troubles on his mission. Just he was really stressed out. And so I was saying, well, I understand difficulties. I'm a gay Mormon. Anyways, he told me that he had gone through some really rough times and that he feels that he's like, I think our parents are more understanding than they were when you were 16. So he was actually the one to suggest that I talk to my parents about
uh-huh.
it. But it took a while. I had come out to more friends than I had before I told my parents. And finally, they were coming up one weekend for a concert I had. And so I emailed them and I sent them a letter and I said, here's something, I'm gay. And here's some, I told them, I want you to realize that this isn't your fault. This isn't something that because of your parenting, you drove me to.
Yeah.
don't feel that you could have done something different and changed who I was because, I mean, you have four other straight children.
they have their share.
I don't feel like you particularly changed your parenting styles for me. So it's not you. I don't worry about me leaving the church. I mean, I'm not completely sure about what's going to happen in the future, but I'm still an active member. But I really would like to talk to you about it and let you know what's going on. So it was kind of like a preview to kind of open the door for when they did come, we could talk about it in person.
Yeah.
And when they did come up, so we had a talk, and it was, I was neutral about how I felt about how it went. And on one hand, it was, I felt good that they knew. I mean, I didn't feel like I was hiding anymore. But on the other hand, they were pretty firm in that they didn't want me to talk about it to anyone else. They wanted me, they even though they were glad that I didn't keep it a secret to them, they wanted me to keep it a secret to everyone else. Because I had mentioned that I was planning on telling all of my brothers and sisters, and they thought that was a terrible idea, and that might burn some bridges, that maybe it would put an unnecessary burden on my brothers and sisters, and things like that. And they didn't want me to tell many of my friends, and I was like, well, I've already told many of my friends, so that's already gone.
Are they just kind of hoping you'll outgrow it or something? I mean, what's the reason for
Yeah,
not telling people?
yeah, that's kind of how it is that I think the idea is the more you talk about it, the more it's likely to be true. Like you're feeding the flame kind of thing. And so maybe if I ignore it or if I don't talk about it to people, then it will just go away. And my mom also mentioned, she's like, just make sure you're like, every time I talk to my mom about it, it's always, well, make sure you're reading your scriptures and praying because maybe that will help. And I'm like, Mom, I've been quite the active member my whole life and I served a mission. If it didn't go away then, I don't think it's ever going to go away. I don't think I'll ever be as righteous as I was on my mission. So, and it was still there. Anyways, so there is this aspect where they're very uncomfortable about it. I told my parent, I told my mom, I was like, I'm really, it's kind of annoying that every time we talk about it, you try to fix me as if I have some problem. And she claims that she's being the mother and she's trying to help me the most she can. And I realize that it's in her, from her worldview, she is trying to do the best she can for me. And I recognize that. She really does love me and she wants me to do the best that she can. She wants to do the best that she can to help me, in her eyes, do what's best in the in for God and for the religion. And so that's nice and that's flattering and I appreciate it. But it's kind of frustrating that it's, I feel sometimes that they don't look at it from my point of view and they don't try to understand it from what I'm going through. But so I've tried to keep an open dialogue, but recently it's gotten kind of more, I feel like they'd rather I stop talking to them about it. And because it's uncomfortable for him. And so I've come to the point where since I'm okay with it and I feel like I'm in a good place, I don't feel like I need to be talking to them about it and forcing them to understand because it's not doing anything for me. So if it would help them, they can come to me and they can ask me questions, but until then I don't feel like I need to push it on them, if that makes sense. And that's kind of how I felt about coming out in general is I don't really feel a need to have a coming out. I've told a couple of close friends, either friends that I know can help in times that it's hard, I'll tell them. Or if anyone asks me, "Are you gay?" I'll tell them. I'm not ashamed or afraid, but I don't feel like I need to push it on people. That's been interesting. I've had a lot of gay friends who feel that I'm still hiding or that I'm not true to myself. But I just feel that it's, I don't need to. I don't feel any need to tell people. And I've actually told my sister, the sister who's closest to me in age, and we've talked about it. And that was actually a really positive experience. It was, I know it was against what my parents wished, and I told my parents I'm sorry, but this particular sister is the closest one to me in proximity of where she lives. She lives in the Salt Lake area, and so I see her often. I mean, it would be great if I had someone that knew what I was going through, and if I had a problem, I could just go stay with them and be able to talk to him about it. Who knows me as a kid and who understands all of who I am. And so I told her that I was gay, and she actually took it very well. She was surprised. Say the least, we were driving and she said she needed a minute to like understand what I just said. But she started asking me questions and for it was one of the first times that someone was like, okay, well, what does this mean for you? What are you going to do about it? And she asked me questions like, what does the church say? Can you hold hands with a guy? Can you kiss a guy? Like, what does it mean? Like, I don't know. And so instead of just reacting according to the cultural prejudice against homosexuality, she was genuinely interested in finding out what it meant and what my possibilities were, which was a very positive thing. And actually, it was, I was very appreciative of that.
Yeah. So you have a total of 4 siblings. So now 2 of them know.
Right. 2 of them know. I've thought about telling the other 2, but A, my parents would rather that I not, and B, it's my 2 oldest siblings, and I never had the greatest relationships with them, in terms of like on an emotional level. It's not like we ever connected or we told each other everything, so I don't feel that much need to tell them. If I continue dating guys and start establishing even firmer relationships, it might come out just because that's what I'm living, and I think I'll deal with that when I get there. But for right now, I don't see any need to.
The 2 that are closest in your age at least know, and
right.
The
so my youngest brother and the sister who's right above me know.
And the oldest 2, are they married with kids or?
Yeah, well, they're both married. All the 3 siblings above me are married, so even the sister is married. Who knows? And she has 2 kids, and then my brother has a kid. My older brother has a child, and then my oldest sister's married, but they don't have children. So I mean, they're all very well established in their families.
But do your parents just think that they're so orthodox in their belief that this might just make them reject you? Was that maybe your mother's worry about some of your brothers and sisters, or was?
So I don't know. I think I think what the biggest thing was each of my siblings have their own problems, and they didn't want to add unnecessary burden to like have them worry about me, if that makes sense. Right. Also, one of the fears for me is it's always been in my family kind of tradition to accept what my parents believe. There's kind of this feeling that my parents hold the ultimate authority. You don't argue with them, kind of idea. Uh-huh. I'm kind of the black sheep in the family. Okay. And that's been before I was gay. I mean, I've never taken for granted what my parents said. I've always tried to understand it for what it means for me. And that's been kind of weird for my family. Most of them, it's if my parents say it, the rest of the family falls in line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would fear that if I told them without being able to like talk to them openly about it often, that they would go to my parents to say, well, tell us what this means, and they would get my parents' idea of it rather than mine.
Okay.
Cause there's not as much communication between me and my older 2 siblings that it would kind of get distorted.
Okay.
Rather than with my younger 2 siblings, we have that relationship where we talk to each other often, and they would feel more comfortable coming to me rather than to my parents.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I am at right now with my family and with my friends. Most of my close friends know. And I actually enjoy being gay. I think it's funny a lot of times. I think there are many social situations in which being gay is actually hilarious. I don't know if that offends people, and I'm sorry if it does, but like, we were in a gender class, me and my roommate, one of my best friends who's a roommate, and he knew I was gay, and there were so many comments made about gay people that it was quite humorous for us, like knowing my situation. And so
I can relate to that. I was in medical school, when I first came out, I enjoyed that I was sort of, you know, in this, you know, at the time, secret society, but just sort of that I was in this forbidden sort of category that to me just felt right. And that we had our own language and our own subculture, and we could laugh about things, you know, that people might assume about us.
So this guy that I've gone on dates with, like when we go on like group hikes and things, we have so many inside jokes that it's humorous for us to hear what other people are saying about it. It's just fun. And I think that's one thing I feel that some people have missed when they, like, for example, some people on North Star who treat being gay as this huge trial. I feel like they miss out on a lot of what's enjoyable about being gay.
Yeah.
Like, not saying the sexual part of being gay, but like just the social construct of I'm gay. And there are just so many funny things that go along with that in society, for me, at
yeah.
least.
Well, there's also a lot to be said for embracing your reality and getting the most out of it.
Right.
I mean, even if it's just
right.
these things that aren't have nothing to do with sex, they have to do with just your relationship with the world around you and the people
right.
around
and
you.
I try not to. I mean, maybe it's because I've gone through a lot of depression and anxiety since I've been a kid, but I don't feel the need to approach everything in my life as if it's this terrible weight and trial and oh, woe is me kind of idea. I mean, especially with the idea that this is an eternal part of me, I feel like the looking at it from such a negative perspective is like that just seems really tiring to me. And I'm tired enough as it is with all I have to do. So I look at it, I feel more positive about it, and I try to look at it with good humor and moving forward in a positive way rather than looking at this as a burden.
Yeah.
It's more of a, it's, I feel like it's quite beneficial and quite helpful.
Yeah. Well, once again, I think that sounds to me like a very healthy way to approach it. And it's based in self-acceptance, and that affirmation you got was obviously really helpful in letting you arrive there, and I just wish that was available to more people. I don't think that I think that there's the North Star body, but I've heard some of the North Star leaders actually come from a similar space. Not all of them, but
no, it's
there's
true.
A few of them.
No,
Josh
true.
Weed, who
right.
who really says that it was really important to him to sort of embrace the reality and kind of be affirmed about it. And I don't know if he talks about a specific affirming experience, but there are other guys in North Star who do. I don't know if they're,
right.
I don't know if this just doesn't filter down to the body or.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's just that there's some lone voices there that are maybe changing things over at North Star. I don't know what to think of that, but.
Right.
But. Frankly, I've heard that from them. I don't spend a lot of time listening to North Star presentations, but
right. I hope I don't give like a negative view of it too much. I mean, I know a lot of people benefit from it, but and I agree. Like Josh Weed he's very comfortable with his sexuality, and I don't think I've ever heard him say it was a burden or anything. But just from I'm part of the email GChat group, and just a lot of the comments that I read and I hear about are just like. This week was really hard and I can't wait until I'm over this and kind of things like that. And so it's just been, to me, that's more depressing than constructive.
Well, it's depressing if you think about them doing this for the next 80 years.
Right.
Because if there's
right.
just no escape from it, which is what kind of seems dreary to me. If
right.
They just don't see if there's not a...
Right. I don't think it's, I'm pretty sure it's not North Star's mission to promote that kind of feeling, but that's maybe just how I've seen a couple of the maybe the more active members on North Star talking about it. It's kind of evolved into that kind of feeling, and that's really not how I'd like to approach it and not how I feel I should approach it. So I'm still involved in like, I'll comment and be engaged in some of what they say because I feel like they have stuff that I could learn from, and I feel like I could say some that could help out. But in general, I feel like the attitude is not something that I feel I identify with.
But you get some pushback from them, but do you get a lot? I mean, do people really think you're off in heretic land?
Right.
Do you feel like you're compromising, that you're going to get kicked out of the group for dating a guy?
Oh, no. No, I don't feel like that. I mean, I just... There's been few people who have ever said anything negative towards me. It was more funny. And I actually had a couple people who were like, no, he's got a good point. Like, who were backing me up.
I mean, are you open to them that you're dating someone? And okay.
They know. And I mean, part of it is like, they're realizing I'm keeping this within bounds. And I've tried to help them realize that this is healthier for me than where I was a year ago.
Yeah.
So I don't advocate that everyone date. I mean, I feel that some people live quite constructively not dating, and that's fine if it works for them. I wish that everyone would be open to possibilities that are right for them. And for me, not like avoiding any relationship with a guy is not right for me. It actually led to, it was quite damaging, and so I don't want to live that way. And so I just hope that other people will realize that there are constructive ways to deal with this, and you need to choose what's right for you. You can't put a blanket statement on, this is how one should appropriately deal with being gay and Mormon. I don't think there's a way to do that.
But I think there is one blanket statement I'd like to put out there, is that one should give more credit to God and also give more credit to your own ability to ask these questions of God, because I think that more people will at least have a happy solution. I don't think everyone's going to get the same answer to their prayer, but I think that more people are going to have everyone. I haven't ever heard someone, I shouldn't say this, maybe you should tell me. Have you ever had someone tell you they prayed about it and just told them that God hates their sexual orientation or something? I mean, has anyone
I
ever
have
told
not.
you something like that?
No, I have not. Well, I've heard of people saying that they feel that it's a trial, and so it's something that will pass, but I've never heard anyone say that, oh, God is disapproving of me for this,
Or
or
did they? I mean, let's just. I mean, I'm kind of playing around with theories because I don't talk to North Star people very often. I mean, I've talked with Josh Reed. I think he's great. But I wonder if we took the category of the least affirming messages, we've ever gotten from a general authority. Say, if we take Boyd K. Packer's talk in 2010 that, caused a mass exodus of gays from the church, right? I'm just curious, would I find an example if someone said, okay, I was praying about the truthfulness of this talk, am I going to find gay people who prayed and said, Boyd K. Packer was saying the truth there? I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying yes or no, because I'm guessing that no, but like I say, I mean, the Lafferty's got a answer to the prayer that they should go kill their sister-in-law and her baby. I mean, I.
I feel like I definitely I think that there would be people who would say that, but would agree with President Packer. And I some of the people that I talked to when I was doing the research actually felt that every person who was gay should go through reparative therapy and should change actively be trying to change their sexuality, or at least trying to work for a heterosexual mixed orientation marriage or something like that. And so I could see people saying or like falling in line with homosexuality is not God-given and that it's detriment to mankind, or it's a threat to marriage, kind of things like that. I can definitely see some gay people even saying that, but I think the general body at large wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I'm just kind of trying to put it in the context of the confirmation you describe, which I just hear this all the time, that it's affirming, that it's non-judgmental, that it is that the answer is love and acceptance. And so I'm just trying to ask, I'm not, this isn't a scientific study because I haven't been talking to all these super Orthodox people. I've talked to a select group of people, obviously, who are reinforcing my point of view, but I just kind of, I guess I'm going to raise that question. Is there someone out there who can tell me about a real deep spiritual experience that also kind of was definitively less affirming than these other stories that I'm hearing about?
That'd be interesting to hear. I agree.
Well, if you hear it, send it my way.
I will let you
Not that I'm
know.
hoping this exists,
I won't try to make
Don't
it
try to make it happen for my sake.
happen.
Okay. Well, it sounds like, it's pretty fresh in your life, on the scale of your life's, trajectory. So it's likely that I'll need to come back and talk to you in a year or so and just find out where you went, because
Yeah, that'd be great.
things are bound to evolve one way or another, as does with everybody. But since you're really on so many thresholds right now that you either have just crossed or will soon be crossing,
Right.
it's bound to evolve. And so I think our people who enjoyed this interview are going to enjoy an update that we definitely are going to have to do, huh?
Well, that'd be great. I definitely foresee an exciting couple of years coming ahead.
Yeah. Well,
So,
it's exciting to move on with your career. It's exciting to move on from a
yeah.
place, and you're at an exciting time just starting to date. I mean, that's exciting. I mean,
No, it is.
it's I don't
It's a lot of fun.
and I'm happy you've chosen to do it in a healthy way that isn't compromising your education. It's also not, I there is a pattern with a lot of gay people to just throw it all out the window and just go out and approach it with an unhealthy way. There's so many people
Right.
who do that, and they just don't see a reason to just maintain any sort of rules in their life. So they do dangerous
Right.
things like drugs and unsafe sex. And so I would rather see models like you who are taking it carefully and not necessarily overthrowing all of your values all at once. You might rethink one or
Right.
two of them, but it sounds like you're going to do them conscientiously, that you're hopefully not going to go off any deep ends. Anyway,
No.
I'm all for going off the deep end, but if it wasn't so dangerous, I would say, okay, yeah, go do it, try it out for a year. But unfortunately,
Right.
a year can have a lifetime of, repercussions. I don't want to scare people, but I want people to be scared, of the
Right, no, I
possible
agree.
bad outcomes. So, anyway, not to be scared, but just that we need to maintain our caution. So,
Sure.
anyway,
No, I agree
once
with
again, being paternalistic. I'm a
that.
doctor. I
Well,
can't
I
escape from
appreciate
that.
it.
Not
I
just for you, but
appreciate
for
it.
all the people who might be listening. Hang. I just want to say it's okay to hang on to a lot of the morals you were raised with, even if you give up one or
Right.
two of
No,
them.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to realize that you can hang on to
Yeah.
morals. Least from what some people I've talked to almost felt like they had to let go, but you don't. You can. I think this is what I would advise for people. Two things. One, you need to make your life your own. You can't follow someone else's path. You need to make it your own. And two, that don't let anybody define your own morality. I don't even think that we should take the church's morality for granted. Even if I didn't have this experience, I wouldn't want to. I prayed about, should I be reading my scriptures? Like, God, what do you want me to do about scripture study? What do you want me to do about going to church? How should I live this way? And I think I made it a personal morality that I want to go to church. It's not a commandment like I should go to church because the church says so, but I feel like I should do it for me. And I think that's an important thing that we should all do, even just regular members of the church, is not just doing something because the church says so, but because you feel that it's right. And if your morality falls in line with the church, that's great, but I think eventually we're going to have to adopt it as our own.
Right.
And that would be my counsel to people, is figure out for yourself what your morality is, counsel with God what he wants you to do. And I think for the most part, a lot of it will fall in line with the LDS religion, but just don't take it for granted. Don't just do it because the church says to do
Yeah.
it. Do it because God says to do
Yeah.
it.
That's
I don't know
sage.
if that makes sense.
That's sage, and that's perfectly, totally in line with how I see Mormonism, how I saw it when I was
Right.
participating in it, and how a lot of people see it. So, and
Right.
I'll just add to that, if you decide to rebel and go off the deep end, go drink coffee. How's that? Because that's plenty off the deep end. And you can take everything else slower.
Just step by step.
Do something that won't cause you to self-destruct. How's that? I guess
Right. Good point.
I'm well,
I'll second that.
okay, but that's not really related to the point you were making, so
But it was funny.
I hope I didn't. Okay, well, Eric, I sure appreciate your perspective. It's been a great discussion, and I
Thank
look
you.
forward to seeing you. I hope that we will get a chance to talk again soon, and I hope that you also find more people who can engage in these discourses. I feel like
Yeah.
that's part of also an important thing is finding community. So good luck with that, and I'm
Well,
gonna
thank you.
say thank you and over and out.
Thank you for joining us today on Gay Mormon Stories. To discuss this episode with others, please check us out at gaymormonstories.org. If you want to see the podcast continue, please consider making a monthly donation today at gaymormonstories.org. Music for this podcast was graciously donated by Nabby Parkinson Folk and Ricky Parkinson.
That thou hast shown. Pause to help and lift another, finding strength beyond my own. Savior, may I learn to love thee.
Keep